This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allah, just another minute. We'll wait for 2:30 p.m., which is 6:30 a.m. London time. You can share out the links for other people, inshallah, if you feel that there would be value for them in participating. What I'm hoping as well is, inshallah, if there are questions as we go along, we'll try to end with maybe 5-10 minutes of questions and answers in things that may be of an appropriate nature that I'm capable of answering or being able to assist or participate in. Allahumma laka alhamd. All right. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inna alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nastahdihi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abdullahi wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim tasliman katira. اللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم علمنا ما جهلنا. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us knowledge of that which we're ignorant of and to make us from those who are virtuous in spreading the deen of Allah azza wa jalla and that which is khayr and good for mankind. I begin with a hadith that is narrated by Imam al-Bukhari and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was a story that was conveyed to him. As the Prophet ﷺ listened, he gave his judgment and verdict afterwards. There was a group of Sahaba who were traveling together, and one of them fell off his mount, fell off his camel or his horse, and his head was split open, and he began to bleed out. And the people who were traveling with him, they put a tourniquet, they compressed it, they stopped the bleeding, they got oxygen back into him, and they saved his life, Allahumma laka alhamd. And they proceeded with their journey. He was still unwell. And eventually, it was time for salah. So everyone began to make their wudu. And this particular sahabi who was injured, he said to them, "Akhsha, I fear that if I was to remove my turban, to wipe water over my head for wudu, which is what we're supposed to do in wudu, I'm afraid if I do that, I can die. It will hurt me. It will make me ill. And perhaps I can make tayammum. Halla atayammam? Should I not make tayammum?" So they recited a verse from the Quran, which is the verse we all know. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَجِدُ مَاءً فَتَيَمَّمُوا صَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا. If you don't have water, then you make tayammum. They said, عِنْدَنَا الْمَاءُ. We have water. There's no reason for you to make tayammum. And they applied their knowledge of the Quran in a very confined way. So this particular sahabi, غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَنَا وَلَهُ, may Allah have mercy upon him, he undid his tourniquet and he began to bleed out and he died. Later on, when they informed the Prophet ﷺ of what had transpired, he said, قَتَلُوا. They brought about his death. They were complicit in his death. أَلَا سَأَلُوا. How dare they not send a rider forward? How dare they not ask a question? How dare they not seek to clarify something they're not aware of? إِنَّمَا شِفَاءُ الْعِيِّ السُّؤَالِ. The cure to ignorance is to ask questions. And therefore, the time that I want to spend with you today is with pursuit of that hadith of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, describing this unfortunate state that at times, people with kind hearts, with good knowledge of the Qur'an, but misunderstanding of its application, people who are specialists in one aspect but not others, that they can at times bring greater harm, although they intend good. And this is something that we want to be very careful with. And the discussion that I want to share with you today, I want to set a few important disclaimers. First, it's meant to be as general advice, and it's not specific for anyone or any place. I sit in my office here in Perth in Western Australia. My condition is very different to what it would be in London, Kuala Lumpur, Singapore. Singapore, subhanAllah, they canceled all Salatul Jumu'ah yesterday. And today there was no Salatul Jumu'ah that was performed in the authorized state masajid. And similar things have been reoccurring throughout the United States, throughout many parts of the world. And these are things that are now a common phenomenon. So it's important to make note of where you are, who your local ulama are, that they have a more right over you than the words that I share with you, which are general in advice and nature. Number two, of course, the words that I say to you are a non-specialist in the medical field or the medical industry or pharmaceutics or the interaction of drugs. And my aim is not to speak about anything in that specific detail, but to speak about the importance of understanding, preparing, and being ready to assist others, especially as it relates to the coronavirus with our homes and our families and our communities. So with that, I wish to begin, inshallah. There's two problems that Muslims in Australia in particular have, but one problem that is shared by Muslims all over the world. And that problem is that we are very much misunderstanding the concept of tawakkul, putting our trust in Allah. In the sense that, you know, sometimes I'll even have this problem with family members. You know, somebody has been coughing for a week, maybe 2 weeks. And you say, have you gone to the doctor? He says, no, alhamdulillah. You know, I've been taking Zamzam. I put some honey, mashallah, in hot water. I added a little bit of vinegar. I've been increasing my vitamin C. Inshallah, it'll go away. And subhanAllah, we have this lackadaisical problem within our communities. We have this problem amongst Muslims, Muslims living in the West, Muslims living in the East, where we do not take with seriousness the effects of things that can harm us in greater ways. And therefore, you find that this is something that medical practitioners will say, that there is an underreporting of illnesses from particular communities, that people wait far too long before they actually go out and seek treatment, that had you come earlier, you would not be in this situation that you're in. So for that reason, it's important for us to speak about it from a standing of understanding, preparedness, and the willingness to assist others. Number two, the second problem that we have, in particular in Australia, we have this culture of, she'll be right, everything will be all right. Yani, inshallah khair, kullu fi khair, everything has khair, inshallah it'll all end up well. Kullu shay'in khalaqnahu bi qadar, everything is in the fate and the determination of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's a misapplied understanding, not just amongst the Muslims, but also within the culture in Australia that I live in at the moment, where we kind of are not as proactive as we need to be and should be. So it's for those two reasons that I finally decided, I said, look, you know, I want to speak about this, because as a person who's seen in part of my community as a leader who has an opportunity to maybe stand on a minbar or lead a large Islamic institute here in Perth at the Langford Islamic College, there's a duty of care that needs to be provided. So today I led Salatul Jumu'ah at our school, and we excluded all people who are not obligated to pray. So normally our Jumu'ah, there's nearly 800-900 children that are praying from year 2 all the year to year 12. Today it was only year 6 to year 12, grade 6 to grade 12, half of the amount of students. We made sure that the students were seated for, you know, with a meter space between each other, that there was a gap between each other forward and backwards. And we made sure that the girls downstairs, boys upstairs, lots of room so that we take this precaution, not because anyone is sick, but to train them that this is now a behavioral standard. So let's speak in a succinct manner. Let's first understand coronavirus. Well, the first point that I want to express to you is there is a lot of misinformation. So there are some people who over-exaggerate, and there are some people who under-exaggerate. And the truth will always be in the middle between the two. And what I say to you is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us in the Quran, says to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially in times of fear and difficulty, وَخُذُوا حِذْرَكُمْ, so take your precaution. Ya Muhammad, in the battle of Badr, when it's time to pray, in the battle of Uhud, in the battle of Khandaq, don't just all your army pray and say the angels will protect us. خُذُوا حِذْرَكُمْ, protect yourself. Half of you pray, half of you stand on guard. That concept is really important when you understand that Allah is speaking to the messenger of God, who is informed by God, who Gabriel comes down to, alayhi salam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet Allah puts it upon us to be the ones who look after ourselves. So that's the first most important understanding, that you have to be very well prepared within yourself. Understand that the obligation of taking care of yourself is not about the government, it's not about the imams, it's not about leaders, it's not even about your parents, is that you must really look after yourself, look after what is right. So that's the first and most important point. Number, and that comes as a Quranic maxim, as an asla from the Quran. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. O you believe, save yourselves and then your families from the torment of hellfire. That's an important Quranic maxim. It's an important ideal to always be very self-oriented, not self-centered at the expense of others, but that thaqidu shari'i la yu'ti. In Arabic, we have a proverb that the one who doesn't have cannot give. So I must be able to gain strength to be able to share it with others. As a point of understanding, it's important for us to let the science speak. And subhanAllah, I've received all of these forwards. It's one of the reasons that prompted me to this. Forwards, things like, if you make this dua, بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم, that this will save you from any harm that happens. We don't disbelieve in the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of course, that dua is going to be of great effect and value, but that dua must be coupled بأخذ بالأسباب. It must be coupled by taking the means to achieving the protection from the dur. So I can't say that dua and then jump into a lion's pen. You would say that's foolish. That is tempting the power of Allah. And none of us have the power to force upon Allah to save us or to assist us when it is with the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the decision as He seeks. So understand that as a clear and important point. Another important verse that needs to be clarified is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the end of Surah Al-Baqarah, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. Allah does not bear upon a person more than they can withstand. That's not really the correct translation. What it means is Allah doesn't put a person in a circumstance that they do not have a way of dealing with it. And it could be that the best way you deal with it is sabr. Another way to deal with it is that you call authorities to give you your rights. Another way to deal with it is that you have to fight back or raise your voice or make a fuss. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never put anyone in a place where there is no opportunity for them to find an exit. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we pray, opens to us the doors that we may think are closed but are opened through His mercy and His love. It's important also to understand that with every specialization, there is somebody who is more specialist. And perhaps you might go to a medical doctor and he gives you a very general comment and your heart does not feel good about it, not enough about it. Do gain specialist advice. And I say this for myself, for my family, but also for you as loved ones, that at times, something doesn't sit in your heart. There's riba in the heart. There's something, an agitation. Don't assume that that's enough. I've asked and once and that's it. Or I asked Mawlana, should I come to Jumu'ah? And he said, yes, of course, astaghfirullah. What Muslim doesn't come to Jumu'ah? But in your heart, you know that in that jama'ah, there were people who are, for example, on a jama'ah, tablighi jama'ah. And I don't want to isolate one particular community, but I use this as a real example in Singapore. There were people who had gone to an ijtima' and they came back sick, not knowing that they're sick. And it's important to understand that with this illness, with this virus, it can lay latent within you for up to 4 days, 5 days, where you've shown no symptoms, but you are highly infectious. So therefore, you might consider that, and you know these brothers, they were at that same ijtima' that those brothers in Singapore with, and you make your own fatwa in your heart that no, that doctor, he gave me that very general thing, or that Maulana, he gave me that very general thing, I'm going to go ask the doctor and describe my situation. Understanding fiqh is different to ilm. And there's a difference between fahm and ilm, understanding and knowledge. And Allah separates this understanding in the Quran. So Allah speaks about Prophet Dawood and Prophet Sulaiman, the father and son. And Allah says, كُلًّا آتَيْنَا حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. Both of them I gave wisdom and both of them I gave knowledge. But Allah speaks about Sulaiman and says, وَفَهَّمْنَاهَا سُلَيْمَانَ. Sulaiman was able to understand from it what his father was not able to understand. And therefore, وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. Above everybody in knowledge, there's somebody who is more knowledgeable, somebody who is more learned, somebody who has a greater ability to understand the complexity of the issue. Part of the duty of the person who gives the discussion is al-hukmu ala shay, to be able to give a judgment on something. It is a byproduct of tasawwurihi, to be able to understand its reality, its existential effect, to be able to understand it. And therefore, I find it highly inappropriate that a person goes, asks for advice that relates to medical issues, financial issues, from somebody who is not trained in it and somebody who is not specialist in it. It's in the same way of asking, religious advice from somebody who is not trained in it and not specialist in it. Those are points of understanding that are important. Understand that the older you are, the more effect this will have on you. And if there are people in your home that are, elders, that they are of greater danger than you and your children. And that's something that's very real. Understand that governments will be making very, very quick decisions that will be on the snap. People in Italy woke up and they couldn't leave. That just happened. And it's very likely in the United Kingdom, as we found in America, that the declaration of the president was that there would be no more flights out of Europe. And you could imagine the shock of somebody who's in Germany, who now is unable to board a plane in Frankfurt to fly into New York. That's unprecedented. It's something that is, something that requires for you and I to deliberate on, to understand how quickly things are moving. Understand that there was very few people in Italy who were infected 3 weeks ago, and understand the turmoil that especially the northern part of Italy is in today. So what you may have today in your community, in your household, in your masjid, in your area is normative, but what is to come may change with great fluidity that it requires for us to kind of consider and pay attention to initially. So the second point, therefore, after these points of understanding is preparedness. And subhanAllah, one of the things that we as Muslims, with our concept of tawakkul that I spoke about, that is a deficiency if we don't apply it correctly, is that we kind of think everything will work out, eventually everything will be fine. Now, as a Muslim, my neighbor has a right to me, and al-jar dhil-qurba. So the Prophet ﷺ said, if you make soup, add a little bit more broth, a little bit more water, so you have enough to share with your neighbor. This is an important Islamic ideal. So part of your preparedness to make yourself strong is that you're not just preparing yourself and your family, but preparing for your community. So you can go out and volunteer, so you can go out and share, so that you can go out and give. So I say to you what is now known as the recommendations from the Center of Disease Control in America, what is being said now in Australia and the United Kingdom, that yes, you should have levels of preparedness. So the first most important is for your medicines. So if you're a person who's a regular medicine user, you need, asthma puffers, or you need insulin, or you have heart high blood cholesterol, you have, an irregular rhythm and you need, regular medication, or, things that you take regularly, or you're on medicines that keep your mental health in good order, which is going to become a very, very trying time for those who don't have it on timely manners and in good regimens. I ask you to go visit your doctor. I ask you to go and get on-hand medicines that are with you that are enough to see you through for a month or more. And that's the general recommendation of the Center of Disease Control. Dr. Nancy and others have spoken about it in the United States and all around the world. It's becoming common. So make sure that you're proactive in that sense. Number two is, household items and things of, people have been, it started in Australia. I think people were laughing at Australians about toilet paper, but I could tell you it's the same problem now that is happening all around the world. So I have my brother from Toronto. He's telling me, look, people are going crazy in Costco and grabbing what they can. And, there will be shortages. And what I say to you is be ethical, be moral, and have sabr and have ihsan. But do look after those who are qurba, those who are near for you. So be prepared and make sure that you have good cleaning utensils, a good supply of the foods you like. If it is by chance that you're asked to stay indoors as they have in Italy, you would rather that your children have their box of cornflakes if that's what they're used to than trying to serve them bread with butter, right? So preparedness is an Islamic ideal. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as I shared with you that verse in the Quran, وَخُذُوا حِذْرَكُمْ, prepare and get yourself ready and in prepared. And I could say to you on my part, and to be an imam in this capacity, I have, alhamdulillah, made sure that I went out early, 3-4 weeks ago to buy the medicines that are important. My mother-in-law recommended for her to get enough medicines that could last her for a month or more. I made sure that, there are the certain staples of life that I bought a little bit more, because if we don't use them because of this and it all fizzles out, Ramadan is coming, we're going to share it with everyone anyway. If I have a little bit more, there might be somebody in the homeless centers and other places I can share with them these things. So I do recommend for you to take those precautions and make sure that you are prepared. Third is prepare spiritually. Do not leave your adhkar in the morning. Wallahi, this morning as we got out in the car, myself and our children, the normal routine, we sat and before I leave and pull out of the driveway, before I turn the car, I say Bismillah, الَّذِي لَا يَضُرُّ مَعَ اسْمِهِ شَيْءٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. You know, we make the adhkar, Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, a'udhu bi kalimati Allahi tammat min sharri ma khalaq. You know, you repeat that three times. You read Ayatul Kursi when you wake up. You read it before you sleep. You make sure that your sadaqah is a protection, and you increase your istighfar in many, many, many fold. In the comment section, I will share a link to my Ramadan protection series. The Ramadan Dua protection series that I did last Ramadan. And it's a playlist, and I want you to listen to each of those different dua. And there are 30 dua there that have 30 different effects in our protection. Protection between husbands and wives, protection for our children, for our home, for our food, for our rizq, for our... And it's meant to be as a holistic treatment along with taking the means of understanding and the preparedness that I just spoke about. Be prepared to face challenge. And the concept of a Muslim is one of strength. A mu'min is a believer who is strong. Al-mu'min al-qawi ahabbu ila Allah. A believer who is endowed with strength, who has economic strength, mental strength, patience, endurance, is physically strong, is healthy, is more loved by Allah, more pleasing to Allah than a Muslim and a mu'min who isn't. So what I say to you is what they found as things that relate to the coronavirus is people who are obese are more likely to suffer. People who have underlying health that is due to non-genetic things, things like smoking, and you know, it's not from genetic propensity, but from an altered lifestyle. People who are consuming copious amounts of intoxicants or liquors, people who have a generally unhealthy lifestyle, who don't exercise, who don't walk, who don't get their heart beating, who don't have a good large lung capacity, who aren't, you know, physically fit, then it is something that has a greater impact. And therefore, prepare your household, your finances, your stocks, and your stocks of food, and also your medicine supplies. The last thing that I would say, and I don't want it to be something of an alarmist, is that you want to prepare your children. We're learning how to wash properly, how to wash their hands. Wudu is not enough. You know, it's a ridiculous assertion to say, mashallah, Muslims are safe. We make wudu five times a day. Washing with soap and learning how to wash and, you know, removing your your ring and washing under it and putting back in your watch. You know, washing medically is different to just like this. Making sure that your children, when they come home from school, that they take off their clothing, it goes into the laundry, and maybe they take a shower if need be and get themselves clean before they see their grandmother, before they kiss her, before they eat with her. Not because they're definitely going to be infectious, but you want to protect the elderly. You want to protect the compromised. So prepare routines. So here, for example, at the Langford Islamic College, although nobody's sick, alhamdulillah, with any infectious illnesses, we've made it a mandate. Nobody is sick with anything can come to school, not even a little sniffle, you know, an allergy or whatever. Don't come to school. We've made it a mandate that in our salah, we don't pray shoulder to shoulder. We actually separate a little bit further from each other, that no one is to share food with each other. We've made it a mandate to close down all events. SubhanAllah, today was the highly anticipated family night. We normally have nearly 1,000 people come on campus. I give a talk. We've canceled it, and this is in its place. We normally have, you know, community events and, you know, parent-teacher nights have been, you know, brought to an end. Any teacher who has traveled out of Australia is not allowed back on campus for 14 days, and then a clean bill of health with a COVID-19 bill of health that they've taken a test and that they're free. Any students who came from overseas didn't matter how long they stayed in any one of the countries that were initially noted, whether Thailand or Singapore or wherever, even if it was just transit, we didn't allow them to come on campus for the first 2 weeks. That was not because we don't have belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but that was because of al-akhs bil-asbab. We don't allow students now to go out for excursions or having incursions in the school. All of these are things that we have taken very, very seriously to protect our staff, our students, their well-being, our well-being, and seeking the pleasure and the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I did recommend to our imams here in Perth and in fact in other places in Australia to begin to prepare for not having Jumu'ah. And I'm going to say this to my dear brothers and sisters. Obviously, it's general advice and you can take it. If you are a person who has an immune compromised situation, if you are above the age of 45, 50 years old, I would recommend for you not to go and pray Jumu'ah, not to attend the Jama'ah. I would say to you, you are from those who have the rukhsa of praying at home. The Prophet ﷺ would say to people when there was heavy rainfall, صَلُّ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ. Bilal would make the adhan and say, صَلُّ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ. Pray in your homes, right? If this was the case for something like that and you find yourself in a compromised situation, don't put yourself in danger. And eventually the masajid, as is happening in Ireland, for example, in Singapore, in California, in Seattle, these will be things that will become legally mandated, even though we really should take the initiative as leaders and make them voluntarily mandated. So I do recommend that you do not go to Salatul Jumu'ah and the Jama'ah if this reaches you in time, not out of fear of your qadr, but out of taking the love and the rukhsa that Allah has given you, the love that Allah has for you, not putting yourself in danger. وَلَا تُؤَدُّوا بِأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. Don't put yourself in a place that is compromised. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us khayr insha'Allah. So prepare. Finally, assist. Subhanallah. Be ready to assist. So be ready to have a little bit more cash on hand that you can give to people whose businesses are beginning to suffer. Buy from your local Muslim butcher. Buy from your local Muslim businesses because they're going to be greatly impacted. They don't have a large catchment. There might be bigger sales in Costco or some of the bigger shops, but you want to help your Muslim community and you want to help people to stay afloat. Keep your employees as much as you can. The coronavirus is not a medical pandemic as much as it is an economic pandemic. And this is almost as if it is a financial reset. If you read financial literature, if you listen to financial analysts, and if you kind of know where things are in this space, you will understand, for example, in Australia, for the federal government to promise small businesses anywhere from 2 to 25,000 as a non-means tested handout for them to give every person who's on the dole or who's on the welfare system more than $750 as a cash payment, and to promise, you know, 18 billion dollars, $18,000 million in concessions and in stimulus. It tells you that there is economic downturns that are expected, and it is something we are to prepare for, but be also willing to assist those who are within our families, within our communities, who might not be able to take care of themselves as much as they should. Be willing to assist with food, be willing to assist with community, and being able to assist by opening your home to people who may not find the ease and comfort that Allah has blessed us with. And being able to assist those who are abroad. Subhanallah, ya akhi, if you're blessed like me to be in Australia or America or Canada or one of these wonderful places in Malaysia, in Kuala Lumpur, and Allah has given you a ni'mah and given you khayr, know that there are people who are in camps in Jordan, in Syria, in Lebanon, who are unable to fend for themselves. The Palestinians in Gaza, in Al-Daffa, in the West Bank, they are those who will now become, their voices will become drowned out, and people will not turn to them as much as they normally would. So make it a point of fact, now that you feel what people have felt, how ironic, subhanahu rabbi al-a'la, how symmetrical in the qadr of Allah, that Donald Trump began his presidency by banning particular types of people from particular types of places, and that some of those who cheered him in that are now facing some of the same kind of closures and ban. It's, subhanahu rabbi al-a'la, al-mu'iz, al-mudhil, the one who elevates and the one who humbles. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is truly in control. So pay attention to things in the world. Be willing to partake and to share. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You won't be able to find righteousness until you're able to part from some of the things you love the most. And it could be your time, your energy, your advice, your wealth, your knowledge to assist those who may not be in that same place and position. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens our hearts and makes us from those who are cognizant of the needs of others as much as we seek to fulfill our family needs. As much as I'm interested in making sure that my family and your families are well looked for, I want you to know that it is important to look abroad of us. And to those who are in, that single mother whose child comes to the school and, doesn't have the lunch that your children have, be on the lookout for that. Be on the lookout for the luxuries that we have that other people haven't fulfilled their wants yet. And perhaps you missing your cup of coffee and making one at home and being able to share that with others can be a great virtue for you on the Day of Judgment and a light and a proof for you. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and yuzil al-ham to remove our depression and our sadness, to protect us from this onslaught, to make us from those who are carried in dignity and humility, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to be ibadur rahman, the servants of the merciful, alladhina yamshuna 'ala al-ardi hawna, who walk upon the surface of the earth with humility. وَإِذَا خَاطَبُهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. And when they're accosted by the ignorant, they say peace. I would be wrong to not remember the martyrs, inshallah, the shuhada of Christchurch. And subhanallah, at this time last year, a couple of days from now, there was the massacre of Rukka and Sujjada, those in Ruku' and Sujood in Salatul Jumu'ah, who were gunned down, أَنْ يَقُولُوا رَبِّيَ اللَّهُ, for no reason except that they said, our Lord is Allah. So make your dua for them this day of Jumu'ah. Ask Allah to join us with them in the highest levels of Jannah, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the death of the martyrs and the life of the righteous. And remember the words of the great ulama, to live this life as if it is endless, and to plan for it as if the day of judgment is not coming, but to also live this life as if your death is imminent. And that we live this life as if we are travelers who sat under a tree and are about to depart. And the tree and the fruit of this life does not distract us from the eventual journey. وَأَنَّ مَرَدَّنَا إِلَى اللَّهِ, that our return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens our hearts to see the truth for what it is so that we follow it, and opens our eyes to that which is falsehood and sinful so that we can observe it and be distant from it. وَصَلِّ اللَّهُمَّ وَسَلِّمْ وَزِدْ وَبَارِكْ على حبيبنا ونبينا وشفيعنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Now, if there are any comments or questions that anyone wants to put forward, I'll try to stay online for the next 2 or 3 minutes. You can type them out, inshallah, in the comment section, and I'll do my best to address them بإذن الله تعالى. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to elevate the praise of our Nabi Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم in this blessed day of Jumu'ah, and to make us from those who are worthy of his shafa'a, and to be honored by standing next to him on the day of Qiyamah as we enter into Jannat al-Firdaus amongst the first of people. Allahumma ameen. Allahumma lakal hamd. Yes, JazakAllah khair, Brother Omar. I do ask that you do share it with some of your family and your friends. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a blessing for them. What about using black seed? We have a question from the Instagram, one of our sisters. Black seed is used by the Prophet ﷺ, but there's no detail of how it was used. Was it chewed? Was it swallowed? Was it oiled? Was it powdered? Was it sniffed? Was it eaten? There is a cure in the medicines of the Prophet ﷺ that are established, but it is not something that we can find cure just to that. So what I would say to you is, if you do have aches and pains, do not simply limit yourself to black oil, black seed oil, and mixing it with honey. Look, I have black seed oil in here. It's not that it's not something I don't use, and it's a cream that I'll use if, sunburn and things like that. So these are all things that I do use, but we want to make sure that we do all that we can to fulfill our needs, inshallah. What about those Muslims deceased and praying janazah salah on them? This is a question from our brother, JazakAllah Khair Muhtab, from Sydney. Those who have been affected with the virus, there's a detailed response by my dear brother, Abu Isa, Ni'matullah. There's also a guideline that was written that we kind of shared in the khair with it of the British Board of Scholars and Imams. And I will post both of them in the comment section to you. It's a really good resource, inshallah, that you do get in contact with the BBSI, British Board of Scholars and Imams. I'm an associate of it. I'm not from the United Kingdom, but I am up on their WhatsApp groups and other things, and there is so much benefit that you can gain from that, inshallah. So there are particular protocols that are to be followed with the deceased and the body, and those are things that you can refer to the detail provided by Abu Isa and the British Board of Imams, and perhaps it's something that we can replicate here in Australia, inshallah. Sister Leah asked, what does the Quran and Sunnah say about outbreaks and diseases? Something that I would turn you to is a publication called Prophetic Guidance on Epidemic Diseases and Coronavirus 2020 by Sheikh Haseeb Noor. And you can find it as a PDF if you go to the Legacy Institute. The Legacy Institute has it as a free download. And I'll try to share it in the comments as well, inshallah. But I found it as a comprehensive kind of a resource that you can benefit from. And I think it would be worthy of your attention, inshallah. So I will try to find the link for it in the section, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And the website for it is Legacy Institute, legacy.institute. That is the website. And I'll add the link for you here, inshallah. And you'll be able to access some more information on that. But there are many statements of the Prophet ﷺ about not traveling into a place where there is illness, or traveling out of it if there is illness, or being distant from others that you know are sick. So the Prophet ﷺ said, "Fir, flee and depart quickly from the person who has leprosy, the way you would flee from a lion." And this is a statement of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He puts the onus on us to take that precaution. Our brother Darcy, Mustaqim Darcy, hafizakallah, unrelated to the topic, can under any circumstances may lead fard salah by reading from a mushaf? Yes, this is something that is established in the action of the sahaba and the tabi'een. In fact, Aisha radiallahu anha, she had a freed slave who used to read from a mushaf and lead her in prayer by it. The preference, of course, is that reading should not be done. It should be from the heart. But if there's a need, it can be done. And that is a normative position of some of the main madahib of Ahl Sunnah. All right, this is where I will bring the discussion to a close. I know that there will be other questions that may arise or have been sent that I might have overlooked, but I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to understand, to prepare, and to be willing to assist others in this time of need. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us healing and success and security after fear. Allahumma ameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Your brother Yahya Ibrahim from Perth, Western Australia, on March the 13th, 2020.